All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv FluffTube Edition. I'm with Scott Bennett, who's an expert in Army psychological warfare. Correct, Scott?
That's right.
And no better person to talk to than you when it comes to this stuff. Scott was just in Donbass. He was in Ukraine, Russia, an ambassador to be looking at the devastation. First-hand experience right here. You were there. First, folks, get your trim with Nino. Trim with Nino, baby. You want to lose some belly fat, Scott, with me? Come on, let's lose some belly fat.
Of course, man. I got to have any advantage.
No more cerveza. All right, folks. When it comes to stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for a miracle pill, which may never exist. But believe it or not, I found an exceptional alternative that uses naturally sourced and science-backed ingredients from Mother Earth. It's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection, better than most weight management products I've typically seen on store shelves. Tens and thousands of five-star reviewers, can't be wrong. I'm one of them. Simply place your order now and get 51% off, folks. 51% off plus other free bonuses before they sell out, and they always sell out. Go to Trim with Nino down there below, folks. Get started. Knock off that belly fat. Scott, man, I haven't been able to get in touch with you recently. Obviously, I knew where you were at. You're like exploring the world, man. You're out there on a mission. You're doing everything you can. What's going on? What can you say for my YouTube audience? We'll take it back to Nino's Corner.tv and dive deep, because I know you got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about the good stuff in Nino's Corner. Let me just say too, Nino, we'll donate $10 for every order on destroycancer.com to your program, to your work. So I want people to know, if you go to destroy-cancer.com and just write us an email, hey, I'm purchasing, I saw you in Nino's Corner, we'll give $10 of every purchase to Nino's Corner. That's how you fund the revival renaissance.
Be careful, they might hate me for that.
Well, you know, if they want, I mean, people need to buy health supplements somewhere, and you might as well buy them from Nino's Corner, you might as well buy them from Alex Jones, you might as well buy them from Global Freedom TV instead of Sprouts or Whole Foods.
Come on, this is like charades, and like sometimes you gotta be a mime.
The Kabuki Theater, right?
Yeah, it's really like that, dude. I'm one of the very few people still up on here. And that's because what I do. That's good.
Yeah.
No, I'm better, bobbing and weaving, man.
It's better to play like Kermit the Frog in the Muppet movie, you know, on the log, you know, than Metallica headbanging and tossing.
Yeah,
their hair,
exactly. So, and I'm going to show the footage when we go to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm going to be showing all the footage that you were out there. You were in Donbass. Let's just give it for my YouTube audience. What did you see?
Well, in a nutshell, you know, I was invited over to be part of an RT documentary. They're making a film called An American Officer in Donbass. And it's me as an American Army officer walking the grounds, seeing the devastation, interviewing the people who have been genocided for the last 10 years. So I flew over 20 hours to Russia, then another 10-hour bus ride down to Donbass. The camera crew were all ex-military, wonderful people. It was a miracle that I got into the country, you know, because they've shut down all foreign passports, you know, from America, Britain, and EU because of the, you know, the wars.
So you can't even, you can't even get in there.
No, you really can't. And I got in because the customs guys recognized me from prior interviews. And I said, hey, here's me on, you know, RT. And, oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Come on, bro. That's how that happened.
That's part of what, because they could have stopped me right there at the gate. I could never have gotten out of Sheremetyevo Airport if they didn't want me to. And they took me into a little private room to interrogate me. And I was, hey, yeah, I love Russia. I'm here for an RT documentary. You know, I'm Mr. Happy Santa Claus, you know, joyful. And I said, let me show you some of the videos. And
speak their language, or you just pure English?
No, not really. I mean, I speak Spanish, but that didn't help me there in these guys. But they warmed to me when they saw my videos on the phone and they recognized me from RT. So they let me through. And the camera team thought, wow, you got through. That was a gamble. They weren't really sure if I was going
to
get through.
So did they fund this for you to go? Were they funding?
Well,
you
I'm
to
not
go?
Going to go into the details of anything like that, because bad guys are always listening and they want to piece together stuff. But let's just suffice it to say, I went over on my own prerogative. They arranged, you know, the visa and the you know, the letter saying we're making a film with Lieutenant Scott Bennett. And they had asked me, you know, how long have you been in the military? You know, they were wondering if I was a spy. But needless to say, Nino, I got through. I got through the airport. Camera team put me on a bus real quick. Not a big bus, you know, a little van. And we drove down to Donbass 10 hours later. So it was a heck of a flight and a heck of a ride. It was a full, you know, day and a half journey. And I get down to Donbass, and what do I encounter? But the city looks like I Am Legend. Every building is essentially missing glass. There's gaping holes in the sides of buildings, piles of brick and rubble, little crosses, you know, on the street corners and in the parks where prior explosions had happened and killed people, like you see driving around on roads when people put up crosses where someone's, you know, driven off and killed themselves. That's what a lot of the Donbass area was. So I had the body armor on. It took me back to Benning and Bragg when I was in the Army. You know, they loaded me up with helmet, body armor, because we were under constant barrages of missiles and artillery shells and sniper fire. You know, I didn't have any bullets going right by my head that I know about, but there were missiles and HIMARS that were being fired, because you always heard every hour it was constant. You felt the concussion. It was like thunder, and these were the Ukrainians firing into the city, and the Russians then returning fire after they triangulate the position, and they'd be annihilated.
So you were trying to avoid the areas of conflict the best you could, but there was. Are you saying that? I mean, were you?
Well, no, we were going to the sound of the guns. We were 1 mile away from the front lines. We went through different areas, different cities. I was in Donetsk for a couple days. Then I went to Mariupol. Then I went to Soledar. Then I went to a few other cities.
Have you been to these places before, so you have some kind of point of reference, or you can compare it to like the way it used to
look?
Well,
you know, I can't really say what I did in the military in the uniform, and I told a lot of people that, because it gets into dangerous grounds when I talk about what I've done and where I've been. But suffice it to say, I've never been in this capacity. I've never been as a civilian, retired military, wearing the body armor as an ambassador, as a documentarian, as a war crimes researcher. And that's essentially what I was doing, is accumulating evidence, testimony, photographs, videos. Right. And I saw the weapons. I saw the empty shells. I saw all of the defense contractors from the West. Uline.com was one of the defense contractors. These munitions go back to 1994 too. So I saw all the weapons that had been fired, and I saw the whole.
What percentage of that city is just in rubble? Like, is it like 50%, like 20%?
Well,
all of it?
You know, I would probably say about 50%. It's not in complete rubble, you know, because it takes a lot to take down a building, but one shell will take out a whole wall and leave it uninhabitable. One shell of a 155 or a HIMAR exploding in front of a apartment complex 10 stories high is enough to shatter every window in that apartment complex. And that's what happens. I mean, I was in awe of what I was watching. And you can play the videos, you know, when we go into Nino's Corner, but entire buildings are missing their facade and missing their windows because the concussion of these weapons is so.
So you have footage of this?
Yeah. It's on globalfreedomtv.com. People can go to the website and see all the video documentation is up there on globalfreedomtv.com. And I was there for 3 weeks. And you know, I went through training, basic military training again with the Spetsnaz, Russian Special Forces guys, because they want to make sure you know how to shoot and run, and if a grenade comes at you, what you do and things like that. I said, yeah, I was.
Did you have any close calls while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were mines all over the place. I looked, and the Spetsnaz guys were always around us, but they always, jeez, you know, they would point too. They wouldn't yell out because they didn't want snipers to know our position. But I'd see them point. I'd look, and there's big anti-tank Soviet mines that are the size of dinner plates, you know, right next to you where you'd be walking.
So and what if a civilian walks on this? They don't care. It's just anybody.
Well, that's it. All of these towns are empty as civilians, except for maybe a few people that are adamantly refusing to leave. We've got a video of me interviewing the only lady left in Soledar. She's like 62, 63. She refused to leave, so the whole city was totally uninhabited. Most of the buildings had been broken up, and the cars had been shattered and ruined. This lady refused to leave. I sat down with her and interviewed with her. And I mean, it breaks your heart when you hear the stories. And again, all of these people that are the suffering casualties are the victim. And
so this, so how many casualties are we losing? Is it in the hundreds of thousands of millions? What is it at?
Well, the civilian casualties, you know, the Ukraine military, you know, you've lost like 300,000-400,000 in the civilian casualties of Donetsk and Mariupol and these places. You're probably looking at around the same amount, because it's been 10 years. Casualties have just been the last couple years, but they have been bombing and genociding the Russian speaking Ukrainian people, set in fire this motion. So we'll get into the details of how it happened. But anyway, I was there for a period of time. Then they sent me up to Moscow to report on Russian media. And this is where it gets interesting, Nino, because I am on live Russian TV, not recorded. Not, hey, Mr. Bennett, you can only say this. No, no, no. They just put me in front of a camera, live television with a live audience on several of the programs, and said, you know, what did you see? What did you think? What was going on? What did you? And I told them how it was. And I said, every American citizen is against this genocide. No one backs Mr. Z, you know, sodomite who plays piano with you know what. No one backs this war in America, and the conservatives are stopping the funding of it. So they know there's a perestroika, a revolution going on in America.
So what's going to happen, in your thoughts, that when the funding comes to a halt?
You're going to probably see the mass exodus of Ukrainian soldiers from the front lines, because they're not going to get food, they're not going to get fed, they're not going to get anything. And they're going to go into Europe. They're going to bleed away like Afghanistan. And Russia is going to just kind of slowly push forward. They're not in a rush. They're not trying to rattle or scare Europe. They're not trying to give Germany or Macron or any other you know, little metrosexual freaks a justification to say, Sacre bleu, they're coming to take over Europe. No, 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 no. Russia doesn't want that. They're but simply going to push through.
Let's just, you know what? I mean, let's just put this on Nino's corner, because there's just so much editing going on right now. Let's just go all in.
You can stop it here, and we'll go to Nino's corner. But
now, okay. Well, it's ridiculous. I have to tap dance all the time. I hate it.
Well, it's good to have things on YouTube, because people do brush across it when they're
all right. Let's finish this on NinosCorner.tv from here on out. So, folks, get on over there and let's dive deep. Let's go deep and say what you want, Scott. Say everything you got to say. All right, folks, we'll see you right over there.